we have seen a very significant jump and increase in the number of people that are subscribing to our YouTube channel, that are watching our videos, and that are consuming the messages and the content that we've been putting out as a local church. And so decisions were made in the shutdown to hopefully continue to reach out and expand. We also continue to have the Transform Life meetings, and we use Zoom to do that. And some of you participated in those, some of you didn't. Some of you were there for as many of them as you could be there for, and that was great for whoever was able to be involved in that, and that continued through May. And then the board obviously continued its meetings and functioning, and we used Zoom remotely when that happened. So COVID came in March, and that was the situation that transpired, okay? Then in April, my book, Don't Pass Over Easter, was published. If you remember, I gave an Easter broadcast from the Sunday school classroom back there. And I made the choice to be a guest on the Ask the Theologian program and the Fellowship Bible Church podcast. All of those were done to try to expand the awareness of the assembly and what we were offering people through YouTube, Facebook, and our church website. And again, those measures, I believe, in large part, were successful, all right, as far as the ministries of the church growing through these decisions that we did make during the COVID shutdown. On May 30, the board voted to reopen the church on June 14. You remember, a lot of you will probably remember that on May 31st, Sunday, May 31st, I went live and did that message on Mindful of Thy Tears and was quite emotional about everything that was going on at that time. Okay? So that happened on May 30. On June 14, we had our first in-person meeting since March, and we came back to church only to discover that our soundboard had been stolen. And that put a monkey wrench into a lot of things for a number of months, as far as our ability to function normally, etc. The summer of 2020 was characterized by contentions over COVID precautions, contentions over politics, the resignation of an elder, sound and streaming problems stemming from the theft of the soundboard. If you remember, we had prayer meetings in the Sunday. I had prayer meetings with the men on Sunday mornings during the Sunday school time to pray for the church and to pray for the families in the church. My wife had some prayer meetings with some of the ladies at our house during the summer. And we also, a good thing that happened during the summer is somebody came forward, because I made the choice to go on Ask the Theologian program, somebody came forward with a $10,000 donation to Dispensational Publishing House so that we could start moving the Grace History Project into a book. So that's going on right now. I don't have a book yet to say, hey, look what we've done yet, but that's happening. It's slow, but it's happening right now behind the scenes where things are happening along those lines. So it was, to say the least, a hard summer. A lot of things going on. In September, we resumed the adult Sunday school class, and we brought Phil Bass, in, I keep wanting to say Blass, but I know that's not right. Bass. Bass, like, yes, thank you. We brought him in to help fix the sound problems. We got a new soundboard, and then once we got a new soundboard, we thought everything was going to be good, but then we realized the new soundboard was more powerful than the old soundboard, and then we had all kinds of other sound problems, so we brought in a professional to figure that out. In October, we resumed children's church. In November, we loosened our COVID precautions, and we brought back the tables and the coffee and the snacks and, you know, all of those sorts of things. And then in December, we saw the following. We saw, number one, the resignation of another elder. The nursery reopened. The library opened. The public opening of the library happened. We had a reboot meeting for the Transformed Life at the Rixey's house. And another book was published in December, the one on Bollinger, Rightly Dividing E.W. Bollinger. So you can see that we had a year that had good stuff and bad stuff happen. We had some good things happen. We had a lot of not so great things happen last year in 2020. And I'll just be honest with you about it, that 2020 was the most challenging and emotional year that Becky and I have faced in 20 years of marriage and ministry because of all these things that were happening. And guys, the bottom line is that our church has changed. If you look around, our church has changed. It's not the same as it was a year ago as far as who's here. Many have not come back. They have their reasons. I do not take it upon myself to hunt everybody down and try to put them under the law and try to figure out why everybody is doing what they're doing. I think people are free to be adults and to make their own choices on what they're comfortable with or not comfortable with. But the reality is that some of these folks may never come back. I don't know. Some of them, Calvin and stuff, I don't know where Calvin is. I've tried calling him. There's no answer. I have no way to get a hold of him. I don't know where him and his wife are. I don't know if they've moved. I don't know what's happened to them. I have no, the number I had for him, I can't get a hold of him. So the church has changed. Many people haven't come back. Many of them may never come back. Which means there are holes in the ministry that we need to discuss how we're going to fill them. Okay? And I view 2021, we had a conversation in the closed portion of our board meeting yesterday. 2021 is hopefully sort of a reset of sorts for the ministry after what we went through last year. So there are not going to be a ton of like huge initiatives that you're going to hear me talk about. What I'm mostly concerned about, here's what I'm primarily concerned about, is that we put aside the political wrangling of the political cycle and we just get back to being a church together. To one anothering, to focusing on the Word of God, to teaching and preaching the Word of God, to educating the children in sound doctrine, to supporting one another, and so on and so forth. That really is, frankly, my desire. Now, as a segue, I will say the following. One thing I am extremely pleased to say is that through everything that went on last year, we never had a financial crisis. We never had a crisis where we didn't have enough funds to take care of what we needed to take care of as a church. Obviously, we've had projects done, all right, and things have happened in the building. We now, Daryl's going to talk about them, but because of what happened with the break-in, we have an alarm system. We have security cameras. We have, you know, we're almost Fort Knox, but not quite, okay? But my point is, I can say to you, and this is a segue for Daryl to come up and talk about the financial report, that I'm very glad that we never had to deal with everything else going on with a financial crisis on top of it. And so that was a blessing in that regard. So Daryl, if you would come up, I'd like for you to go over the financial report with the folks. By the way, while Daryl comes up, Daryl is an excellent treasurer. Daryl needs to be commended and thanked for, Daryl has done a ton of work behind the scenes as a project manager in overseeing the upgrading and the fixing of the sound problems, the audiovisual project, the issue dealing with the insurance company over the theft of the soundboard, being here to let in the workers to set up the security system and the cameras and all of that. Daryl was here for all of that. And Daryl was managing that and running that. And I appreciate that because it meant I didn't have to deal with that stuff on top of the other stuff that I was dealing with. Okay? So I just want to say publicly thank you, Daryl, for everything that you've done. And I think we all need to.
Dave will get you one. So thanks for saying that, Brian, and thank you all for the acknowledgement and recognition there. We do have printed copies of the reports that were out on the table. If you didn't get one, Dave has some additional ones. Just please raise a hand, and he will get you a copy as we get started here. So, one thing that came to my mind is, as nice as technology is, I'm pretty certain that your paper copies aren't going to start blinking on and off. If they do, don't tell me about it. I don't want to know that. So, being I'm not, you know, a professional public speaker, I just like to keep things simple and use a printed copy of the report. And then you also have something that you can take home with you as well for further review. So, with that, we'll just get into the financial report. You can see from the cover letter of the report that this is for all of 2020. A couple of years back, we changed our fiscal calendar to match the actual year calendar, so it just makes a lot more sense. We just start January 1st and we end December 31st. So if you flip over to the next page, I'll try not to be too redundant here to what Brian had said, but as I just sort of sat and started to collect my thoughts about 2020, you know, the first thing I was like, do we even have to look at it? Let's just close the book and move forward. So many things happened. So many things seemed like it was much more than a year ago that it occurred even. But noteworthy items there. We'll just try to address these in brief. As Brian said, the COVID shutdown in March forced us to operate totally online. And that included, you know, from a financial standpoint. So, you know, we weren't collecting offering here. So either PayPal donations or, you know, checks mailed to me. But I think we can be thankful for the technology that allowed us to continue to do that from a financial standpoint. And then, as Brian said, to thank all the saints that continually faithfully supported the ministry during the shutdown and the remainder of the year. Just prior to our COVID reopening, I call it the incident where the soundboard was stolen. The building was accessed, items were damaged, the soundboard was stolen, which created even more issues during an already difficult time. And the incident exposed some security vulnerabilities that the board addressed during the remainder of the year. Brian mentioned we have an alarm system, we have a camera system. Due to just being in a public forum, you know, I'm not going to go into a bunch of details about how all that works. If you want to know anything more about that, just feel free to ask me afterwards, and we're willing to share how that's all in play and working. But the building is much more secure. We know what's going on when people aren't here. We get notified right away. We have a monitoring service that takes care of that 24/7 as well. So. And then ongoing issues with our live stream and audio resulted in enlisting Phil Bass to give us a hand. And once we were comfortable with the sound issues were resolved, we continued working with Phil to update the visual experience in the building. And I just want to say again, thanks to Phil, Dave, Mark, and Bart for all of the work that they put into these projects. And even though you guys didn't make it into the print copy, I want to thank Jeff DeWitt, who came in after the electricians to do some painting of the conduits and stuff, and to thank AJ and Ken, who were here yesterday, to help us put it all back up in place for this morning. So a lot of people were involved in that project, a lot of hours, probably well over 150 man hours at this point, just into trying to get everything up and running. So, and the Grace Life Bible Church library was revamped, and we supported Blake from a financial standpoint, ensuring he got whatever he needed to make the library project go. So thanks to Blake for leading that effort and all the work he put into it. And lastly, I'm thankful, and I hope others are as well, that we reopened the GLBC coffee and snack bar. And I wanted to say thanks to Neil for temporarily taking the reins on this and ensuring we're well stocked with lots of good snacks and coffees. So from there, we'll just take a look at the financial statements themselves, the balance sheet, the income and expense report, and the brokerage account. So if you flip over to the next page is the balance sheet. And just keep in mind here, too, we're going through like an entire year's worth of financial data. I'm only going to highlight some of the key points, and but I'll for sure be available after the service or at any time. If anybody has any questions, feel free to just ask me. So. On the balance sheet there, you can see at the end of the year, our checking account was at just a little over $26,000. We do still have our emergency fund and the printing ministry fund, so that put our total current assets just shy of $31,000. And as Brian mentioned, with no mortgage, the only liability we have is just the revolving credit cards that a few of us have to use to buy stuff and keep the church functioning. So at the end of the year, our technically only liability was just a hair over $1,500. So if you switch over to the next page, it's the start of the income and expense report. So the first highlighted note there is $61,583. So that's funds donated by regular attendees of this assembly here that physically come here. And obviously with the shutdown, you know, we weren't physically here, but those people continued to use PayPal to mail checks to me that I could donate or deposit online. So that's really representative of the collective body that's here physically during the year. The next one there is miscellaneous checks, which is $2,175. So that's mail donations from outside of the local assembly, people that don't necessarily come here, different churches that use the material that we put online for their services. And then PayPal deposits at $13,407. That is actually PayPal deposits, not from anybody that attends here. So nearly $15,600 in total income was donated from people that don't attend this assembly. So thank you to all the online listeners and supporters. It doesn't go unnoticed, but we definitely appreciate your financial support. So the total income for the entire year from all sources was $84,823.86. So our goal for the year was $72,800. And as Brian said, for me to not have to worry about the church financial situation through this whole entire year was indeed a blessing. It never was a question in my mind, you know, do we have enough money to pay Brian? Do we have enough money to keep the lights on? The money was just always there when it was needed. So again, thanks to everyone that's continued to support the ministry. So we'll move on from there to expenses. The first couple items there, we see the security camera system and the EPS security system. So just a note on the camera system that the remainder of the system was paid in 2021. So it did cost more than the $2,000 shown there, but that expense won't hit until we run the report for January. So just a note there. Snow removal, just a note there again that that's just basically some supplies, ice melter, shovels, and then the fee to have the sidewalk cleared. Dave is still generously taking care of all of our parking lot plowing. So that is something that he chooses to donate, and we thank Dave for that as well. In addition to the COVID shutdown and when we reopened, part of that was to have some enhanced cleaning measures put in place. So that custodial labor there is a little bit higher than it's probably been, but that's due to the enhanced cleaning that we did in regards to the COVID virus, and thanks to Becky and Patty for doing that work for us. And then you can see the bookstore there. That's just some of the costs that were incurred to get the library fully updated and functioning and make sure that Blake had what he needed. If you flip over to the second page, just a couple notes here. Miscellaneous expenses. That includes the accounting software, which is like $350 that I used to do all of the treasury stuff. And we also did upgrade our Dropbox account this past year so that we had the capability to store more resources in an online backed up environment. And then obviously the postage expense there includes the P.O. box renewal, which was an important part of this year as far as getting checks and stuff mailed in as well. I'm going to skip down there to the live stream ministries other. Brian touched on this, but if you remember when we shut down and we were trying to do everything remotely, we had a lot of issues with Brian trying to live stream from his house. We bought a new upgraded internet router that was capable of handling the speeds. We bought cables to run from his basement to his upstairs. The subscription for multi-streaming or multi-platform streaming. So all of those expenses that occurred due to the shutdown were captured in that account. And then moving on to the church support, the $24,960. So that's pastor's salary slash parsonage allowance that we did for 2020. The board approved an increase approximately 7.3% to $26,780 for 2021. And again, that's, you know, due in part to recognize all the work that Brian put in through the year and trying to make sure we didn't just shut down and nothing happened. We kept the live stream going. It's an acknowledgement of the financial strength that we had through the year as well, and we hope to continue that strength going into next year. Under utilities, so that's just a note there. We've essentially added a utility, if you will, for the EPS alarm system, so there's a monthly monitoring fee, but it definitely works. The other day, the electricians were in here, and I was working from home, and my phone rang, and it's EPS. And they said, I answered, and they said, do you know you've lost AC power to the control panel for your alarm system? And I did know that because the electricians were here, and they unplugged it and moved it inside. But it's that fast. So as soon as something happens, it flags in their system, and they're contacting me to try to figure out what's going on. So definitely the building, like I said, not quite Fort Knox, but getting there. So we'll flip over to the last page, the audio-visual upgrades project that you see there. That's definitely the overhaul of all of our audio-visual equipment, not including the cost of the new soundboard. That's the second to the last note there. So everything we've done with Phil and trying to get the sound up and running, you know, to where we are today with a stage extension, with the monitors and as Brian said, please bear with us. We'll get this glitch figured out and hopefully resolved real soon. But that's where those expenses are being captured. There's some more to do there. There's been equipment that's been returned, so that account will fluctuate a little bit as we go into this year. But hopefully we'll get it all stabilized here pretty quick. So that leads us to total expenses of $63,685.10. Flip over to the next page. This is just a simple statement of our Grace Life Bible Church brokerage account. If you remember last year with the mortgage paid off, you know, we had some funds in the checking account and we made a decision to sort of start a long-term investment account with Merrill Lynch. And we funded that account not knowing anything was coming with COVID at all. In January, and the baseline is about was 23,000, and you can see there at the end of the year it was 24,000, so we gained about $1,000. But keep in mind this is a very conservative account. We're not out there doing high risk investing and potentially trying, you know, losing money. We're just trying to essentially start a small investment account and just have it grow slowly and precautiously so that if anything were to happen in the future, we did have some funds to back up on. So with all of that in the history books now, a look forward. From my standpoint in as a treasury and looking at the finances, as Brian said, we're not looking to engage in any, you know, massive projects or anything like that. But one of the final visual upgrade projects that we've discussed would be to have some additional back lighting, so back here and some additional front stage lighting. I would just sort of give, you know, the right look and feel on the live stream video and would also enhance the in-building experience. There wouldn't be shadows or anything like that. So that will come once we get everything figured out with where we're at right now. One of the things that I've sort of noticed, as Brian mentioned, spending a lot of time here as all this work gets done. There's just the several areas of the church building that can use a full paint job versus just quick touch-ups. Like, so an entire room, we would just want to look at repainting that whole room so it has a clean, fresh look to it. So we'll be looking at that and determining which rooms we want to paint and just get that done this coming year. And then if you notice, most of the carpet in our building, it's pretty stained up. It's probably the original carpet from when we opened the building. So it's definitely at its end of its life cycle. So we're probably going to be looking to get some quotes and estimates on getting that carpet replaced, so that we continue to enhance and refresh the look of the building. And then, I don't know, this is just something that I see and has been on my mind a little bit, but the landscaping outside of the building, it's there, but there's just a lot to be desired in regards to that landscaping. So the board plans to just investigate some different options and how we can achieve that. That might be contracting with a company that does more of a full service maintenance. In the past, we've just done like lawn mowing and trimming, period. Like they would come in, they'd mow the lawn, they'd trim, and they'd leave. But we might look at a company that would do more of that landscaping and, you know, weeding and wood chips and all that kind of stuff. So that's something we'll be looking at this as we go into 2021. And then, obviously, with the COVID shutdown and the increase in PayPal usage, PayPal does charge a fee every time you donate. We don't get the full donation. There's a small fee that PayPal takes out of that. So we're planning to investigate some alternative donation tools and see if we can add a fee-free option. So if you do want to use an online donation, I'm talking to you, Mark. And I agree, it is convenient. It's easier. You can set it up to auto and all that stuff. But we'll look at doing something like that for those that want to use the online but want to get the full amount donated to the church instead of paying PayPal fees. So, and then lastly there, I just, you know, from my standpoint and you know, the rest of the board, we're always open to hear your ideas and suggestions on what you would like to see happening, whether it's building, whether it's something you want to see just get taken care of because it's a little bit of an eyesore or whatever. You know, just please let us know. And it doesn't always have to be Brian. You can come directly to me. You can come to Wayne, and we'll get those issues on our docket and see what we can do about getting them addressed. So from there, we'll move over to the final page of the report, which is the proposed budget for year 2021. So just a couple of things to highlight here. About a quarter of the way down, custodial services and supplies. We did fund that with enough money to continue the enhanced cleaning through the rest of the year. You know, and anything that needs to be done related to any issues with COVID and the virus, and make sure that we are doing everything we can as an assembly to protect people that want to come here and meet in person. If you scroll down about halfway to the under pastor's expenses to the housing allowance, that amount's been increased to the new approved amount for the year. Under utilities, about three quarters of the way down, you can see the EPS monitoring. So that's about what it costs for the entire year to have EPS basically be watching our system for us. And then if you look down all the way towards the bottom, you know, Brian touched on this, but the one and othering fund, we kept that and actually increased that amount a little bit. We definitely, as an assembly, as a local body, we want to be able to help people that are in need. And we are in a strong financial standpoint to be able to do that. We want to continue to be able to do that. Please, if you're having any issues at all, let one of Brian or myself know. It will be handled completely confidentially. Nobody else needs to know about it. And we want to be able to do that for the people of our church here. So, and then you can see there the carpet replacement fund and then long-term building maintenance fund. Obviously, anybody that owns a home, you know, as things age, things break, things need to be replaced, things need to be refreshed and updated. So we want to continue to do that, and we just want to continue to keep our building looking as good as we possibly can as we go into this year and in the future. So when I made all of the adjustments to that, it raised our income goal to $77,982 or $1,500 weekly, which was just, it's $100 more than our goal for last year. So being we exceeded that goal, you know, hopefully we can maintain our strong financial standpoint and exceed this goal as well. Just a quick note, if you would like a financial support letter for your 2020 donations, please let me know. If you got a letter last year, I will reissue a letter for this year. But if you need one, just let me know in any form of communication and we'll get that for you. And in closing, I want to thank everyone for your continued generous support and read 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Thank you.
Thanks, Daryl. So after sort of a recap and a look back, both sort of what happened in the church and then financially, just want to reiterate that our church has, the makeup of our church has changed as far as who is here, who is gathering. As I've said, many haven't come back. I don't know if some will be back. I don't know. So that means that there's some holes here that we need to talk about filling, which brings me to the ministry needs for 2021. The main goal here, guys, is a return to quote-unquote normalcy, whatever the heck that means anymore. But that's what we desire to do, to try to, you know, have things be as normal as possible, you know, as we can. Again, not knowing everything that might be coming down the line for this year, we want things to be as normal as they can be, based on how they were before we, you know, had COVID and so on and so forth. So along these lines, then there are a couple of things then that are definitely on my heart to discuss as needs. Okay. First, I want to make an appeal to everybody that's out there who has been a part of the church. We need you to come back to church. Okay? We need you to come back to church. We miss you. We feel like we are meeting as safely as we can. I understand that a lot of you have your own opinions, and that's fine. No one's trying to have dominion over that stuff. But we need you to come back to church. We want you to come back to church. We want to be together as a church. So that's the first thing. We're asking that if you're out there and you've ever been a part of the assembly and you live in the West Michigan area, we're asking you to come back to church if you feel comfortable doing that. And, you know, we need to, as it were, get the band back together. Okay? So that's part of it. You know, we need, as long as we are able to in this country, we need to be gathering together as a local church that stands for the things that this church stands for. And we need to have everyone here to the extent that they are able to be here, okay? Second, and before I put this one up here, I want to say, don't shoot the messenger. This is a request, okay? And I'm going to try to say it as nicely and tactfully as I can. We need you to try to be here on time. Church starts at 10:15. Okay, so one of the things that happened when we start meeting because of COVID is we had a different schedule than we normally had, and people kind of got into the habit of not getting here till 10:30. Okay, our service starts at 10:15, and we're asking you to try to be here and at when it starts, and to respect the time of the musicians and the folks that have been here early and have put time into making this an enjoyable experience for everybody so that we can all worship together. So number one, come back to church. Number two, try to come back and be here when church starts. That would be a second request, okay? And so that we can be here together. You know, a lot of folks are putting a lot of time into getting this building prepared. You know, I have to mention David. I have to mention Sylvia. They're here. I don't know what time you guys get here on a Sunday morning. 7 o'clock to make the coffee, to put out the snacks, to make sure the heat's on, to test the live stream and so forth. The bands, the Kurt and Bud and Becky are here at 9 to practice. So if you're able to, we're just asking that you be here on time when church starts at 10:15. Thirdly, volunteers, okay? We need some subs for the nursery. We've had some folks who have communicated that they don't know when they're going to be back, and so that has left some spots where we thought we had some help, and now realizing maybe we didn't have what we thought we had when we decided to reopen the nursery, okay? And we badly need a teen, another teacher to work with the teenagers. Right now, all of the classes have at least three people who are rotating. The teenagers only have two people, which means Becky and Blake are not able to be a part of the service as often as they would like to be. So we're asking for some folks to strongly consider if you might have an interest in teaching teenagers, and you need to talk to me about this if you're interested in that, okay? Another thing that I need to mention is we are looking for a host or hosts for the main service. One of the things that is happening because of resignations on the board is I am doing everything on a Sunday morning as far as the public ministry is concerned. I teach for an hour back there. I come in here. I do the announcements, the prayer. I do everything. Then I preach for an hour, and I have to close the service. It would be nice if I could have at least a break for a little while some other people sort of ran the service the way that Todd used to, with the announcements and the prayer, etc. So I'm asking for some people to consider who might want to host. I have some names in my mind already, and I might come and talk to you about it. So just so you're aware of it, okay? Another thing is on the topic of a lot of things falling to me, I don't perceive that I can continue to be a good overseer of the children's ministry when I am in here teaching and preaching Sunday morning and totally not aware of what is going on back there. So we're asking for somebody to consider. Now, this does not have to be an elder. This could be somebody who would, that we obviously ask whoever this person might be to communicate with the board about how things are going and what the needs might be, et cetera. But we're asking for somebody to possibly consider that. And again, this is part of that holes that have developed in the ministry because of what's going on, what happened with COVID and folks choosing to not come back, et cetera. So there are elements here that we definitely need some help with, all right? So we're asking everyone to come back. We're asking folks to be on time. We're in need for nursery and a teacher for the teens, some folks to consider hosting the service, and then an overseer for the children's ministry. And then another thing is we would like to get at least one more person trained to be able to run that equipment back there so that Mark has expressed some possible interest in doing some other things. And we need some other folks to be trained to run that equipment. That's another need that we have. Again, these are just things that we need to be aware of based upon where the ministry is at right now. And I just want to encourage everybody, finally, on this point, to participate as much and as often as you can in the different opportunities that we have for fellowship. That would mean, obviously, to be here in church with us, but to you men to participate, if you're able, in the men's breakfast, the Transform Life Fellowship and conversation and prayer time and study time, and whatever opportunities are going to be offered this year for the ladies as far as fellowship and Bible study, etc., we're asking you to, participate in these opportunities together as saints here in the assembly to the extent that we're able, okay? And then I just want to conclude with just a couple things. I want to give just a brief reminder about board meetings. The board meets every month. If you have a proposal or something that you want to bring up, if you could submit that in writing to the board beforehand, that's always helpful. It's not required, but it's certainly helpful and appreciate it. And then just the general structure of the board meetings. The meetings have an open portion and a closed portion. The open portion generally is from 9 to 10, and then the closed portion although it's never only an hour, is usually from 10 to 11. But so there's different portions and sections there. We go over the monthly financial report every month. We hear new proposals. We review old business in the open portion. And then the closed portion is, at the board's discretion based upon whatever else might be going on that needs to be addressed or talked about. So that's just a reminder about board meetings. And then here's something that I would really like to see. Help promoting our existing ministry. We need to use social media to promote Grace Life Bible Church. This is garbage in social media. We all know that, right? But we can at least put the truth there to the extent that we're able, right? So we have the website. We have our live streaming. We have YouTube. We have Facebook. We're streaming, when everything goes right, we're streaming on both of those platforms every Sunday. I do notice now, I come home and I look at my phone and a few of you have shared the live stream on Facebook, while you're sitting in here. That's good. Anything we can do to share and promote the church in those areas. I encourage you to talk to your friends and your family about the gospel, the grace of God, and invite them to church. If this is a reset and we are aware of the fact that we are down, it's incumbent upon us to reach out to people, reach out to our friends, reach out to our family, invite them to come here and to study with us. And then embrace, as I said a moment ago, the need for fellowship and support with like-minded saints. And last, I just want to end with this, okay? I want to thank all of you for being here. I want to thank all of you for whatever level of attendance and participation you have felt comfortable with giving, whether it's in person or online. And through everything that has happened, the ministry continues. And we are still teaching, we're still preaching, we're still offering the truth, not only here and in person, but also to people on the internet and in all of those spaces. And the ministry has grown there in those areas. And so I want to thank everybody who works in the sound booth, who was involved in that project. I want to thank those who come in here early in the morning on Sunday morning to set things up, those who stay late to clean up, to take out the trash, to wipe down the tables, those who come in to clean, those who attend the services, those who are working with the kids, those who are working in music. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things that make this church what it is. This church is not just about me. It's not just about what I'm doing or what I'm teaching. It's about what we're all doing together. And you need to understand that us working together is making it possible for people in Norway and Australia and the Philippines and all over the world to have access to what we're doing here. So I know sometimes we think in a real sort of narrow local way, and we look around and we say, is there really anything going on here? And I want to encourage you to think and realize that there is. Not just here, but other places. And the church is having a ministry not only all around this country, but all around the world. So, appreciate your attention. I know things like this could be maybe a little boring, but it's necessary for the orderly functioning of the church to do this. So let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we're grateful for the opportunities that we have as an assembly. Lord, as we think about the holes that need to be filled, the things that need to be addressed here locally within the church, we pray that folks will pray about those things and think about those things and not and come forward if they're so inclined to help with those things. We're grateful that we are still here, that our ministry has continued, that we have continued to teach and preach the word rightly divided. Lord, we're grateful for all of those people who join us remotely, either live or after the fact, who study with us and support the work of the ministry here. We're grateful for them. We pray that as we continue to move forward in a time where things aren't so certain always, that we can make good decisions, that we can move forward in a way that is edifying to each other, that prioritizes what's important from your word. We're grateful for all these things. We're grateful for all these saints, both here and remote, who join us, support us, pray for us, and are edified by the word rightly divided. We